Chris, you're very welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks a million for having me, Amber.
You're more than welcome. Pleasure to have you on the show. As we look ahead, I suppose, Chris, to 2026, what can we expect in terms of hiring patterns?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see in 2026 is a shift to a skills-based hiring. And I think what I mean by that is hiring for capabilities over credentials. It's something that's come from our findings is that there's a huge skills shortage at the moment, particularly around tech skills and soft skills. So we're going to see businesses looking to recruit by upskilling and also looking for those who have those soft skills that they're after at the moment.
Okay, fantastic. And I suppose, are there many employees maybe looking to change jobs as we look ahead to next year?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. 29% of those surveyed said that they are planning to move jobs. So they're already looking around. So you got to be ready for that. But on top of that, 55% said that their heads could be turned. What's really interesting is the main driver is actually salary at the moment. And if we go back to 2021, 2022, as we were coming out of the pandemic, the main driver for people changing jobs was actually work-life balance or work from home. Basically, it was more about how often you're going to let me stay at home as opposed to how much are you going to pay me. Mm-hmm. And that's taken a real shift over the past kind of couple of years, and I think that's the most interesting finding that we've seen in the data.
It certainly is. That's interesting to see for sure. And I was going to actually ask you about that as well as the salary, maybe, and obviously that's the top one. Is there any kind of other factors in terms of maybe the flexibility aspect? Is that still kind of a component that people are looking for, or is it after falling away down, we'll say, the pecking order?
Well, it's still number two. So it's definitely a component. So 31% said that they're looking for a new job for better work-life balance, but it's still 51% saying that it's salary. And I think the reason for it is relatively clear. We've had a couple of years of high inflation, particularly around, you know, cost of services like electricity, gas, as well as like your retail shopping. So what we've had is everything else remaining equal. Even if you got a small salary increase in 2022 or 2023, you are worse off at the end of that year than you were at the beginning. So I can see why the shift has moved so much towards salary, but it doesn't mean you can't get away from the fact that people want a hybrid model and more flexibility, whether that's work from home or staggered start and finish times. Lots of different things can come into it, but that's not going away.
Okay, very interesting. And in terms of this survey, I suppose before we get into, I suppose, more of the specifics from it, how many people were surveyed and who were they?
Yeah, so we surveyed 1,000 employees, so our 1,000 job seekers, and then 500 employers. So it's a fairly well-rounded view of the market as it is, a good pulse check.
It certainly is. And Chris, when it comes to jobs maybe that are in demand, I suppose, or that will be in demand most next year, I can imagine they're probably predominantly maybe technology-driven, are they?
Yeah, I think there was an idea that there would be a big tech session. And obviously, we heard of lots of big tech companies who did let a lot of people go in the past couple of years. But a lot of that was to do with right sizing as opposed to downsizing in the long term. So, you know, big post-pandemic booms of huge increased hirings, particularly in those tech firms. And so they're now kind of leveling out and kind of going backwards. But we're still seeing a huge number of tech jobs being created, and it's actually stagnated now. But even in Kerry, that Sumitomo Banking Corp, I think they're called, in Tralee, are driving huge tech job increases in Tralee at the moment. So actually jobs in Kerry for Q3 are up 93%. So one of the highest in the country, but predominantly driven by Sumitomo Banking Corp.
Okay, that's really interesting. And we hear, obviously, and we have been hearing for some time now, I suppose, Chris, as well, that we are at full employment here in Ireland now. What does that mean for the recruitment market, though?
Yeah, it just makes it exceptionally competitive, because the only thing that's driving change really in the market is movement. So going back to the point about people will move for salary, people will also move for flexibility. So you need to be able to offer something in that range that will make you an attractive employer. There aren't new people coming in looking for jobs. They are just people who are in employment. So you kind of have to turn their head. Or the other way, of course, is you need to make sure that you don't lose people, particularly with the time to hire in Ireland is now about 70 days on average. So it's a really long cycle to replace an employee who leaves.
Okay. And another aspect, I suppose, that I wanted to ask you about, and it kind of ties in with the last question there in terms of the market and the recruitment market. Are there a lot of job opportunities out there at the moment? And as we look, I suppose, to the early start of next year?
Yeah, like it's actually leveled. So we're not seeing a huge increase in the number of jobs being advertised, but actually we're one of the few markets in Europe where it's not going down. So we're kind of holding our own. We're holding firm in the market at the moment. So it's I think going into 2026, I think we're in a relatively good place. There's obviously a lot of fear around tariffs and things like that, but Ireland has proven itself time and time again to be able to kind of cope with these macroeconomic changes that are taking place. So I think we're in a good position, and most employers are telling us that they do plan to recruit next year, not necessarily increase headcount, but that they certainly wouldn't be reducing. They will be keeping the level of headcount they have at the moment.
Okay, that's good to hear. And in terms of, I suppose, the sectors that are seeing growth, I know we spoke about technology earlier on, but could you give us some examples, Chris, where sectors, I suppose, that we're seeing maybe the most growth at the moment that might continue into the early part of next year as well?
Yeah, a lot in social care, health, and then the staples of sales, management, hotel, catering, they're always up there. I think we are seeing, a big drive again in the healthcare sector, and a lot around kind of social work and things like that. So still they're actually always fairly high up the top, but of course number one remains IT at the moment.
Yeah, understandably so. And I suppose in keeping with that as well, if someone was considering maybe a career change, would now be a good time to upskill maybe and to try and improve their chances maybe of getting a job down the line if they weren't really as up to date maybe with those technical skills, and that's maybe an area where they thought they potentially might have an interest and potentially could get a good job?
Yeah, I think there's never a bad time to upskill. I think there's two answers to this. One is for employers and one is for candidates. I think employers should be conducting interviews regularly with their staff to understand where they see themselves, what skills that maybe they need to move it up, whether that's sideways or upwards. So I'm certainly a big fan of kind of moving people up and not moving people out, particularly with that time to hire so long. And then for anyone who is looking for a job, do you know what? I always think that if you're looking for something completely new, you got to take that leap at some stage, and it's never too late. I think it's a really good idea. But on top of that, like things like doing an AI course, there's lots of them available online, take up an hour or so a week. That's the future at the moment. Like obviously we're seeing a lot of people starting to use ChatGPT and things like that a lot more, but actually doing a course that helps you understand what you're doing and how to stop, it giving you hallucinations and things like that is really, really important. So I think things like that would be a really good idea.
Absolutely, they certainly would. And speaking, I suppose, of technology at the moment and AI and other automation tools as well, are they reducing the administrative burdens or and streamlining maybe the hiring process, or are they proving to be kind of useful in those areas?
For me, the jury's out. Like when I speak to employers at the moment, 80% of them are telling me that they are using AI in some shape or form. But I think it goes back to my point that AI means different things for different people. And when I delve into it a little bit more, I can see that recruiters, for example, are still spending a third of their week doing admin tasks. And to me, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. Like, half of companies told us they're not using AI to help them write job specs. And again, that doesn't really make sense to me because you could spend a couple of hours writing a really good job spec. If you pop it into ChatGPT, this is what I'm looking for, and then you humanize it, make it work for your company, you've probably done in 10 or 15 minutes versus a couple of hours. So I don't think we're there yet. Adoption is always fast, and I think people have adopted very quickly to using AI, but I don't think it's streamlining processes quick enough, particularly for maybe smaller businesses who, don't have vast teams. But and what I'd encourage them to do is look at what tools you currently have, contact the companies who you purchase from, and say to them, "Hey, what are you doing in the AI space?" Because I guarantee you, they have stuff already there that you're not utilizing.
Yeah, they certainly do, that's for sure. I suppose, obviously, we're talking a lot of technology and we're hearing a lot about it all the time as well, no matter what the industry or the sector. But I think an important aspect still as well is having those soft skills, I suppose. Are they still as important as they would have been a couple of years ago now that we are in such a digital age, Chris?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's got like when I mentioned about us having a skills shortage in Ireland, it's interesting. The skills shortage is actually in soft skills. That's what employers are telling us. And I can understand it. I don't think it should be forgotten. There is a large cohort of people entering the workforce who finish their schooling or their education or started their first job fully remotely. And it's really difficult to learn the soft skills required in a working environment when all you're looking at is tiles on a screen, that you're not understanding body language. It's hard to collaborate. It's hard to learn those team building, team bonding. So this is not me in any way having a go at that generation, because I think it's the opposite. I genuinely feel quite sorry. It must have been so difficult at that period of time. So employers are kind of constantly calling out that they're missing those soft skills. It is a reason why we're seeing employers mandate people back to the office as well. They want people to sit in a room and learn how you read body language, how you deal with people in an office environment or in a retail environment. So we are definitely seeing a move towards that skill being really, really important for employers.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine so. And it's important to have those skills as well. Just before we finish up, I suppose, from an employer's point of view, Chris, is it a good time now maybe for them to look at hiring someone?
Yeah, it's an interesting time as we come into the end of the year. People do definitely start reflecting on what they're thinking about for next year. Are they in the right position? Do they want to change? So we always see a spike towards the end of the year and into January on applications. So definitely a good time to be looking for someone, because there will be more people looking around as we go into the end of the year and start of next year. But it's I suppose there's never a bad time when the market's so competitive. You need to be looking now if you've any concerns at all that you're going to need someone in place.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to have a look at the survey that you did and to see, I suppose, all the findings in detail, where can they see it, Chris?
The survey itself is available on LinkedIn, actually. So if you go onto our irishjobs.ie page on LinkedIn, you would see it there.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, it's been lovely talking to you and thanks for joining me on the show this evening.
No worries, you too.